Okay, now. I'm back. Now, I want you to see this. I just walked out from out back, and the song is, "You Are Good." And this is what I see. Come on now, is God good to you or what? How many have been washed by the blood of Jesus? How many lives have been transformed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Then sing the song like you mean the song. Can I hear an amen?
Sing, "You are good all the time, all the time. You are good. Sing, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good. You are good all the time, all the time.
You are good.
You are good.
Keep it good
all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
You are good.
You are good
all the time.
All the time.
He is good. Oh yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
You are good.
He is good. Oh, you are good and your mercy enduring forever.
Voices. mercy.
You're the master of the sea.
He heard my despairing cry. Simply says, I was sinking deep in sin. Anybody was sinking deep in sin before he came and saved your soul? I know you're out there. You don't have to wave your hands, but if you know that you were sinking, I want you just to hunt your neighbor and be invasive and say, neighbor, I was sinking deep in sin. Y'all ain't talking, so I'm going home. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm serious, I'm gonna go home. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I was sinking deep in sin, but he came and saved me, and I'm glad about it. Yeah, you're glad about it because now you're saved by grace. So we're going to say this one more time and lift up the name of Jesus. Let's declare it. I was sinking deep in sin. I was sinking deep, far from
the peaceful shore.
Very deeply stay with him.
Sinking
to rise no more. But the master of the sea. He heard it.
your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, oh God, there's pledges forevermore. Hallelujah. We bless your name, God. We love to worship you. We love your presence, oh God.
Church, lift your hands to heaven this morning. Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, oh, worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Fill this room. Jesus' name. Sweet anointing. Oh, to worship you I live. To worship you. Come on, tell him, tell him. To worship. Sing to Jesus this morning. Ah, my Lord, we worship you. Sweet, sweet God.
To worship you I live. To worship you I live.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's none like you, Jesus. We step off our world and worship your name, Holy Spirit. Oh, oh, oh. I love you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Worship you this morning, Jesus. Lord, there is none like you. Father, our weeks are always busy and today is cold. But Lord, being in your presence changes everything for us. I thank you, Jesus, that you're not just our Savior, but you're our healer. Lord, I pray for that woman who has a tumor, that painful tumor under her right arm. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the tumor. I command you right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to dry up and die right now. I curse the very life that's in you, and I command it to come out in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you heal us because you love us. Lord, you love nobody in this room more than anybody else. It's another individual. It's very strange. I don't understand it, so I'm just going to explain the best I can. It's almost like if I took a blanket and wrapped it, attached it to the left shoulder blade, ran it around your shoulder, underneath your armpit, and just a lot of pressure right there along your rib cage as well. I don't have a clue what that is, but God knows, and you know the feeling because you know exactly what I'm talking about. So in the name of Jesus, get ready. Father, I untie that right now. I command it to come off. Here it goes. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you've healed them right now by the power of Jesus' name. Someone's left knee, behind the knee, not in front of the knee, God is healing that as well. Father, I just thank you. There's an individual with, you get headaches, and let me tell you where it is. It starts almost in the corner of your left eye, but always ends up almost on the top of your eyebrow and all deep inside that eye socket. In Jesus' name, I curse that. I command even the cause of it to go in the name of Christ. That, Father, you'll receive glory, and that, Father, they'll understand how good you are to them and that you love them. Father, I just rebuke right now any sickness and disease in this room. God, you have given us authority on earth, Lord, in heaven and under the earth. So we speak to the under the earth. If there's a spirit of infirmity in this room that's sitting on somebody causing sickness, we command you to come off right now in Jesus' name. Father, we also thank you that on earth, Lord, you saved us. The word saved not only is for our spirit, but also for our soul and for our bodies. So we command the bodies to be healed. Though we speak to our soulish man that has been wounded, God, we command the broken hearts to be restored. Jesus, you just love us so much. Thank you so much. We love you. And we worship you, not just for what you can do for us, but we worship you for who you are. And thank you that you are so good. Can we just sing that? I worship you to live. Just one more time.
To worship you.
Come on, sing to him.
To worship you. I live to worship you.
Come on, this is your song to your Savior. Sing to him now.
I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
Ah, my Lord.
We worship you. Oh, worship you. I live.
Oh, yes, we live.
To worship you. I live to worship you.
More.
Say it again. Say it again. Oh.
To worship you. I live. To worship you. I live to worship you.
You know, last night we had our granddaughter overnight, and she's just so cute. And she came over, and she's into this horsey ride thing, you know, where you put the child on your knee and you bounce them and you like a little horsey. And I always did that with my children, but I did bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum, the old Bonanza song. And so I did it with her on my left knee, and I got done. She went, "More?" So I did it again. "More?" So I had to switch her to the other leg. Two more times. "More?" I said, "No, Grampy's all done." She went and sat on Grammy for a little bit, and then she looked at me and she went, "Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum." "More?" Now, I had ridden 10 miles on the bicycle already that day, yesterday, and I was sore. But you know something? "More?" "More?" You got to talk to Daddy, man. Because he'll never turn you away when you look at him and say, "More?" Because he wants you to have all of him that he can give. He loves you. Amen? Can you shout it out loud with me? "More?" Oh, come on. You got to use the kiddie voice now. "More?" Daddy, we want more of you. We want more of you in our life. We want more of you every single day. We want more of you filling every single moment. Jesus, we want more. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, oh, can we just sing this song together? Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. You know that? Bum ba da dum ba da. You're old enough to know Bennett. No. That's. See, I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to get this song in your heart. So every day when you wake up, you're going to have the Bonanza song playing. Oh. And you're going to go like this. "More?" Are you ready? Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da. Stay with me now. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-ba-da-bum. Bum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-bum. Bum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum. Bum-ba-da-dum-bum-bum. Bum-bum-bum. Ba-bum. Hold on. to someone and say, more? Praise the Lord. Go meet five people you have not yet met. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go meet five people you have never met before. More?
Please don't bring food or drinks into the sanctuary. You may end up like this guy. Thank you for your cooperation. Your hope dangling
by a string of sharing. We want to invite you to come out to Awaken. This is a brand new young adults ministry, ages 18 all the way up to 28. We meet every Tuesday at 6 p.m., so grab a cup of coffee, bring some friends, and we'd love to see you guys come out. And I will do it for you.
All right, it's recording. Okay, we're good.
We're getting it?
Yep, go ahead.
We're getting it?
Yep.
We're getting it? All right. Hey, HT, if you haven't heard yet, we want to remind you about Pastor Spencer's birthday. Really? As I was saying, Pastor Spencer's birthday gala is coming up April 1st at the Watkins Glen Harbor Inn Hotel from 6:30 to 9. We want to make sure you have plenty of time to sign up to RSVP at the link listed below. It's $60 for you to attend and to come celebrate with our pastor. Make sure you sign up today.
There we go. A gala is something you can dress up for, and it's a big event, and we are so excited to celebrate 50 years.
I'm not 50 years old.
Yeah, you really are 50 years old. Awaken Young Adults, if you are graduated from high school to 28 years old, you are missing it if you are not coming out to the Young Adults group. This is a powerhouse group of young people. And not only for college graduates, we have a youth group in this church that is absolutely phenomenal. There is a powerful move of God every every single Thursday night in this house, young people are at the front worshiping. They actually out-worship you adults on Sunday morning, I think, currently. Is this true, youth leaders? All of these young people up at the altar pouring their heart out before God. You want to make sure your teenager is in this place having powerful interactions, meetings with God, encounters with God.
We want to welcome our online church at His Tabernacle Family Church. If you're watching by live stream, if you'll send us an email, histab@histabernacle.com. This is just for the folks that watch online or in our television program, so we'll know who you are when we see you drive by in your car. So the other ones we have for our family, they're the white ones that are in-house, but our online as well as our television family, we want to offer you this for free. If you'll send us your address, we'll get you one out. We also want to say we just came back from Florida. No, it was cold. It was cold. Not as cold as 10 below this morning, but it was cold. And you know what's interesting was we were able to meet with a church down there that runs 3,000 to 5,000 people. So Minister Redner and I went in and sat down with the senior pastor and the executive pastor. And what was very encouraging was that we are doing the same, if not more, than their church is. Which is always good. It means we're doing good seed. Can I hear an amen? So we're believing God in this house. I'm believing, and I want you to pray with me today. I'm believing God for an increase of 400 to 500 new souls within the next few months. I said the next few months. Now, is that possible? Well, yeah, the bishop just opened up their new church and they grew 500 souls. We have enough family in this church that over 1,300 people call it their home every single month. I'm believing that they're going to start coming to church more consistent and more often. Can I hear an amen? So I'm believing that we're going to have an increase every single Sunday morning of 400 to 500. Now, I call that organic growth. They didn't have to do special things in the book of Acts. They just had Jesus. I said they just had Jesus. We didn't have to have Pastor Dan run around chasing people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Pastor Dan's doing a phenomenal job. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But you know, in the New Testament church, people were so in love with Jesus, they didn't need to be followed up on. They were passionate to be in the presence of the Lord. So I'm believing that that is going to catch. It's called revival, where you take something that's dead and revive it. I'm believing for revival in every one of our spirits, so of a fresh passion for Jesus and His house. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now watch. Now, if you stayed home today, I'm not going to spank them too hard, but if you stayed home today because it was cold, I bet you would have gone to work if it was Monday. Shame on you. You need to be in the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Praise the Lord. Here's the beautiful wife.
Today is Valentine's Day. And, you know, sometimes this day leaves people feeling empty. But I am so glad that our worship team brought it back to the reality that today is about the love of God every single day. You have never lived an unloved day of your life. You are loved by the one that was willing to die for you. And there's nothing, there's no love in this world that can match that kind of love. So today, as the world celebrates love, we have an opportunity to celebrate the awesome, intense depth of the love of Jesus for every single one of us. And Pastor Spencer and I really wanted to celebrate marriage today on this holiday day and honor something that God instituted, marriage. It's the mirror of heaven. It's a mirror of our relationship with Him is marriage. And we want to celebrate whoever is the person in the room that has been married the most years in the house. Is there anybody? I know I'm stretching it really far.
Who's been married 25 years?
40.
30 years. 35 years. Who's been married 35 years? 35 years. 40 years. Anybody been married 40 years? 45 years. You might feel like you've been married 45 years, but you haven't. 40 years. Anybody more than 40 years? We'd like to bless you with a date. How does that sound? Amen. Why don't you stand up? We want to give you a hand clap. 40 years of marriage. How is that possible when you're only 29? Now we wanna celebrate the youngest couple. Now, I know my son and daughter-in-law raising their hands. They do not count. Hallelujah. I never let them win. I never let them play. So, if you have been married, who's been married less than a year? We got one couple. You don't count. Who's been married less than 6 months? Who's been married? We got a couple married less than 6 months. Who's been married 7 months? Oh, youngest couple. Very good. Anybody else younger than 7 months? Let's stand. Can you stand? Let's give them a hand clap. Want to give you a free date. How does that sound? Congratulations.
Amen. What an exciting feat in the house of God. 40 years and 7 months with many, many more years to come. At this time when we enter into the time of tithe and offering, I am so excited. I have a financial testimony to share. You know, week after week, I stand up here and I get to hear everybody else's testimonies. And about a year ago, I ended up having to go to the emergency room, and it was 3 days before my insurance kicked in, and so we were left with a $9,000 bill. Yeah, gulp. But I had peace all along because I know that I walk in kingdom finances. From the time I was a child, I have tithed my entire life. I was just taught that is what you do. You obey God. You honor God. And I have always tithed every day of my life. I have not missed tithe. So there should be no gap in my harvest either. So I had such a peace about this, even though it was a very large bill. I did everything in the natural that I could do. I fought it. I did appeals. I spent the entire year trying to get this covered. And I got a rejection notice finally about a month and a half ago. And, you know, I didn't even question God in that moment. I knew God was going to do something, even though it wasn't looking like the way I thought it should look. How many times does that happen to us? I was hearing testimonies, and I was rubbing up against people that were getting blessings and getting their debts canceled out. And I was like, God, I know you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do it. So I called and told the hospital, you know, I got declined, so we're going to have to figure out some kind of payment plan and fill out whatever forms I need to get whatever help I can get. And I got a letter in the mail about 2 weeks ago that had that balance transitioned and changed. She told me that because it was going to be self-pay, I would get a different bill in the mail, and that bill was only $458 to pay off the final bill. So, you know, it wasn't in the timing that I thought. I was watching everybody else get blessed and definitely rejoicing with their blessing, because I know when you walk in kingdom finances that there is always harvest on the other side. And we can trust God, even if it had gotten to the place where I was going to have to make monthly payments on that. I trust that God would take care of the monthly payments and I would be fine. No matter how it looks, don't panic. When you're a part of kingdom finances, you can trust and know that you know that you know that God will work supernatural things in your life. Are you ready to participate with kingdom finances? It begins with being obedient and faithful with your tithes and your offerings. 10% of your income is holy. It is the Lord's. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to honor God with our finances this morning. We make a supernatural declaration. It's simply the word of God in Deuteronomy 28. And we declare this over our finances every week when we give. And I declare that over my finances and everything that I encounter. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. and give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us. You can also click on the text to give on your phone and give right there.
I was sinking deep in sin from underneath the shore. Very deeply stay within, sinking to rise on.
Despairing cry.
Heard my despairing cry.
From the waters.
From the waters lifted me. Now sink, am I.
I was sinking deep.
I was sinking deep in sin. But from the peaceful shore. Every deep peace stand within. Sinking to rise no more.
From the master.
I want to give you a welcome from Bishop Thomas. Last Sunday morning, my wife and I were down in Margate, Florida, with the Redners riding our Harleys, riding down the highway. We were down at Bishop's Church, and Brother Ted Shuttlesworth was preaching, and Brother Teddy was playing the music. So we had a great morning, but we live streamed here. I want to say that Pastor Chad Michael, did a great job preaching last Sunday. I have a problem in this church, and that is that I have really, really good preachers. We have about 10 amazing preachers in this church that are part of the pastoral staff. We are overwhelmingly blessed that when the pastor goes away, you don't have to pay. Glory to God. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you're a first-time guest, we'd like you just to raise your hand real quick. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise you. We just want to celebrate you. If you're a first-time guest, if you're here, if you could just raise your hand real quick. And we want to celebrate you guys. If you have not yet received a visitor's packet, if you'll just raise your hand and keep a little higher, we'll get you a packet with a mug, free mug. Now, I know that's when the church folk try to raise their hands. Buy your own mug. Glory to God. But if you're our guest, you did not get a packet or a mug yet, we just like you to raise your hand. We just want to be able to make sure you get one. Right over there, the young lady, very good. You didn't get your mug yet. You want your mug, so you think about us every morning. Amen. We also want everybody to grab your cell phones. Grab your cell phones. Go to Facebook and check in. We just want to make sure that we're out there letting folks know that this is a house of God that will change their life. We also want to let everybody know that today is normally the annual business meeting. And our accountant out of Colorado did not get our information back to us. So we're going to need to push that to next week. We apologize, but we are subjected to his capability of getting us our information. That way we are honorable to you. Can I hear an amen? I believe in accountability. Do you believe in accountability? so do we. At His Tabernacle, our finances are accountable, and we have an accountant out in Colorado who gives us every year, goes through all the information that's needed for the banks so that we are legal and that we are running things properly. We are not being foolish or shoddy with God's finances. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So next week will be the annual business meeting. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 3. This is our verse for the year. Now, the verse for the year is powerful because every single week we build line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, in this church, normally I'm a preacher, but I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching this year because I want you to understand that this is the year of... Must have turned it off. That will Thank you, Brother Kenny. This is Brother Kenny. Brother Kenny's here probably five nights a week doing ministry. We want to thank God for him. Amen. Being the year of kingdom seed, it's important that you understand how God's kingdom runs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that declares this. Seek ye, seek ye, seek ye, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everybody wants the added unto you, but they don't seek ye first. The issue is that if you do not understand what the kingdom is, then you're going to have a hard time seeking what you don't know. So last year, we spent the whole year, in fact, we have available, I believe, out in the foyer, we have different packets of the preaching messages from last year available for you. And I would encourage you to get those packets. I think you can get like, I think it's like 18 or 19 DVDs for like $75. We do that because we want to make them available so that you can have them yourself, learn from them some more, and then hand them around to your family. Can I hear an amen? So we make those available because you need to understand the kingdom. But you must understand that seed is the kingdom principle that propels it into success. So seed is everything. Turn to someone and say, seed is everything. Psalms 1 verse 3 is our verse for the year. For you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And what ever he does shall prosper. Turn to somebody and say, I want to prosper. Turn to somebody and say, I believe in prosperity. Well, that's that prosperity gospel. I just don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Listen now, if you really say that, then the next time you're offered a raise, say no thank you. Which I know you won't. Come on now, can I hear an amen or oh my? See, we all believe in prosperity. There are folks that have done foolish things, but you never throw the baby out with the bathwater. You will not ever see in the scripture a poor patriarch. Show me one of the patriarchs that was poor. And a lot of people have a true misconception of Jesus. They believe that Christ was living in poverty. One of these days we'll handle that. That's a whole nother topic. But I want to prove to you that Jesus did not live in poverty as we would consider poverty. Christ is blessed. Can I hear an amen? Jesus was blessed, not cursed. Now, I want to remind you that if you and I want to be that tree planted by the water, then we have got to be individuals that believe in seed. For every tree comes from a seed. Who created the seed? God created the seed. Why did God create the seed? So out of like kind would always bring forth prosperity. We don't have one tree I remember when I was a kid in 1984, they were telling us that by the year 2000, there'll be no more trees left on the planet. They were telling us that. How many of you remember that one? There'll be no more trees left on the planet because we're cutting them down at such a rate that they'll be gone. I hate to tell you, I drove and we drove both ways and I saw at least one tree. It would amaze you when you got up, we were on Route 64, there was a lookout. When you looked out, you saw, I can't even tell you how many miles of trees upon trees upon trees. Well, how is that possible? Because God said seed time and harvest. It was a promise through the Noahic covenant that seed time and harvest will never pass away. And that means the trees will still come. Why? Because there will always be seed. That means in our life, seed will always be part of our lives. So the determination is not that we won't have seed. The determination is, what are we going to do with the seed that we have? The greatest seed that we have, we've covered it for 2 weeks. The greatest seed that God has given us outside of Jesus, the firstborn of creation, was the seed called time. And every one of us have 24 hours of seed every single day. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. It doesn't matter what country you live in. Every single individual has the exact same amount of seed every single day to fulfill the design of heaven and to plant towards a harvest. So the question is not whether or not you have 24 hours, but what do you do with the 24 hours? That is going to determine, because the truth is, you and I determine where we're going to be and the harvest we're going to have. Many of you say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, the Bible says in Corinthians that if you give little, you'll reap little. If you give much, you'll reap much. God does not determine the harvest that we participate with. We determine by the seeds that we plant. Let me make sure you get that now. Say it again. Many people believe in karma. Let me just explain something to you. Karma is not God. Karma is another religion. There is no such thing as karma in the Christian's life. Facebook has told me some of you believe in karma. You and I do not believe in luck. Luck is not part of the believer's life. We believe in what? Seed time and harvest and favor in the heavens. God has favor for his children. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father now knows how to give good gifts to his children. And I don't know about you, I'm a child of the living God. If you are, shout amen. Shout, I got favor. But with favor, there's a reality that we must be designing what seeds we're going to plant to get the harvest that we desire. That's why I know so many of you have done faith walls. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So today I want to deal with the last part of the message on seeding time. And that is that time has everything to do with the people that you associate with. This is a message that is not always well accepted in the body of Christ. In fact, the truth is that many of you reject this message. You just feel that, you know what, I'm exempt from this principle. I want you to realize there is no exemption with the principle of seed time and harvest. You can think you're exempt. You can try to convince yourself that you're exempt. You can try to believe that you're exempt. You can try to talk God into your exemption card. But the truth is that there is not one person in this room that is exempt from how we spend our time and who we spend our time with. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. You see, every one of us spend time. Now, I want to bring you back to the example real quickly about how we have 24 hours, just like we have $24, each dollar representing an hour of your life. This is your life. This is 24 hours you'll never get back. You can never, ever, ever get the opportunity to replant, to re-spend this $24. Once it is spent, it is gone. And every one of us have opportunity in relationships. We can either spend our time in godly investments or toxic investments. I have a lot of people tell me, Pastor, I just want to be happy. And they're liars. Because don't tell me you want to be happy if you're not willing to change where you're planting your seed. See, where you plant your seed truly is what you desire. Well, it's not true, Pastor. Yes, it is. Because where you plant, you know you're going to reap. don't believe the lie in your own head that you're exempted from the seed that you're planting. Every one of us will reap what we sow. Every one of us will reap what we sow. I said, every one of us will reap where we sow. I said, every one of us will reap where we sow. Listen, I'm stubborn. I said, every one of us will reap where we sow. So let's talk about this. We sow our time. Now, let's just say that you are a conservative sleeper. I personally like normally sleep between 5 and 6 hours. That's my normal sleep time. But they say that most people sleep right around 7 to 8. So let's take our 7 to 8 hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You want to do 8 or 7? 7. You can't do 7.5. We got 7 hours of sleep. Now, whether you recognize it or not, those are hours you cannot get back. That's why the Bible rebukes those who sleep too much. He calls you, oh, lazy sluggard, is what he calls you. Well, why is that? He said, be like the ant who's wise enough to store up. Come on now. So here we are, and you're saying, well, how does sleep either be godly or toxic? It's easy. Who are you sleeping with? Now listen, if you're sleeping with your wife, but if you're not sleeping with the one that you are married to, boy, it gets awful quiet in the room, doesn't it? Now you see, this is the great thing that we do in our lives. We deceive ourselves. We convince ourselves. This is my job as your loving pastor, is to help you realize truth. For the truth shall make you free, not your own mentality. It's the truth that brings the reality of what you're going to receive. So if you are sleeping with an individual that is not your spouse, then you are saying to yourself, I desire, come on now, I desire to sow 7 hours of my life in a toxic relationship. Well, how is that toxic, Pastor? We love each other. Because how you sow in your relationship will bring a reaping in your relationship. If you sow it in sin, you can't be shocked that when you get married, you're going to also live that way. Am I preaching all right now? You can say amen or oh my, it's all right. Glory, that's a change. So you see, I'm going to leave these 7 hours up to you. Some of you are saying, well, you know, I'm so invested in my relationship. Well, listen, ladies, if you're good enough to bed, you should be good enough to wed. Shut the boy off. You'll see how much he really loves you. Come on, baby, I just love you. I love you, baby. You know, I just want to show my love to you. I just want to share myself with you. I just want to lay with you, baby. I just want to be with you. Baby, if you're good enough to bed, you're good enough to wed. Shut the shop down and see how quickly the boy moves to saying, I would rather have a godly relationship. What's amazing is that there are many ladies who have so low self-esteem that they actually believe that their worth is what they have between their legs. You're a daughter of the living God. You're God's baby. Don't sell yourself cheap. Make sure you get a godly man, not an ungodly man. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now listen, I understand that. Some of you are living together in the house, and I'm not targeting you personally, but I'm trying to help you be successful. I'm trying to help you be successful. So, now if you sleep with your wife 4 hours and you sleep with your girlfriend 3 hours, that's still bad. Everybody with me now? You got me now. Come on. So we're going to leave those hours up to you. So we have hours. How many of you, let's just not raise our hand for that. How many of you know you are going to work? I was going to say how many of you work, but I don't want to know. So the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Can I hear an amen? I believe in our welfare system for its purposes. There is a purpose for the welfare system. But what many people do is make it their lifestyle. God wants you more prosperous than welfare. God wants you to rely upon Him more than the government. Now, some of you I know are ill and have disabilities. Well, then that's simple. You just keep praying for God to deliver you from your sickness. Can I hear an amen? And God will bless you in your process. I'm not here to condemn or make anybody feel they're badly by accepting social services. There are times for that. My pastor, before she went on to be with Jesus, when she was in the 1960s, her husband left her, and they were pastors. And the only thing that she did, she had never worked a day in her life. She had raised the children. And she actually went on welfare for about 2 years before she was able to get herself established. There is a purpose for that. I'm not condemning that, not condemning you. But I want you to know you need to work. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Praise the Lord. So now I want to talk to you real quickly. I'm going to teach more than I'm going to preach about people that are in your life. You see, many of us spend our time with ungodly people. Now, if you work, let's just talk about working. Most people work about 8 hours a day. Some of you work far more than that. But 8 hours a day, you're spending time with people that you don't have the ability to say whether or not who they are. But if you're a boss, you do. But if you're not, then you might not have the opportunity to say, I want all believers in my office. So that means you're around people and you're listening to people. You're talking with people that are ungodly. Now I want to explain something to you very serious. And that is that if God has placed you and where you are is not an accident. In fact, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, which means this, no matter what ungodly environment that you're in at your workplace, God has given you the authority and the power and the call to overcome being sucked into the world and that you will be a witness, not just one who slides into their lifestyle. So you've got those 8 hours. So now we're looking at 10 more hours, I believe, 10 more hours that you and I have that we spend willingly or we are focused on spending. Now, listen, many believers, they have come from the world. How many of you were real hellions before you got saved? Mr. Redner, I'm waiting for your hand to go up. He's got a testimony. How many of you, man, when you served the devil, you served him well? Listen, I've always said this. If you're going to hell, go well. Don't go halfway. If you're going to serve the devil, my goodness, you're going to go to the same hell. It don't matter whether you're a nice sinner or not. It doesn't matter. Who you are serving determines your destination. Wow, you're awful quiet this morning. I want to talk to you about some of the people that you hang around. You see, whether you realize it or not, you're seeding your time. It is not just that you are sitting and hanging out with your old friends. Every single person in this room, these 24 hours, these 10 that we have left, we have the right to determine where and how we plant. This is our determination. Cody just sent me something the other day about successful people. Successful people actually plan their day in 15-minute segments. Most of us plan ours in a year in advance and hope it all kind of shakes loose. But God wants to bring you to a place that your success is not accidental. And that means that you are determining that who you are around is going to build your life.
This is the challenge of our believers. When we come out of sin and into Christ, we have come out of a group of friends that we used to hang out with, we used to party with, we used to cuss and swear with, we would do all the wild stuff with, and now we're born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, and we don't want to just ditch our friends. Can I hear an amen? We like our friends. Maybe they grew up with you. Maybe they went through hard times with you. Maybe they were a strength in a difficult moment for you. They're true friends, but yet now you're born again. I want to explain something to you that's very important. How you spend your time with them will determine not only your destiny, but theirs. Not only your destiny, but theirs. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. The New Living Translation says it this way. Now come out from among unbelievers, separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. Psalms 1:1 is very powerful because it goes along with Psalms 1:3. If you want to be that tree planted by the water where your fruit always comes in its season and your leaves never wilt and you prosper, it says this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, nor stand around with sinners or join in their mockers. But Jesus hung around with sinners. They said he was the friend of sinners. So, Lord, I don't understand. Let me explain it to you. When your friends have more influence over you than you do over them, it is time to extinguish the relationship with those friends. Well, you know, I don't know if I can. Do you know what they teach in drug and alcohol addictive classes? That once you go through those classes, you can't go back to your same friends. Yet in the church, we hang around, we buddy up to the bar with them. We sit down, we cuss and swear and smoke with them. Maybe some weed and maybe some stogies and maybe some cigarettes. Maybe we sit back and we just talk about all the old times and all the girls we spent time with and all the things that we did. And you sit back and you say, now that was a great time with the guys. You know what happens is this. Is that whether you realize it or not, if they're influencing you more than you're influencing them, you're damning them, not helping them. And you've taken, let's just say 3 hours of your day, and you've deposited that in a toxic relationship. Do you know what the word toxic means? Toxic means poison. Now, my wife has always threatened me. She said, honey, you better be good to me because I cook your food. For years, she said, you know, I know you can't taste arsenic, so you better be really good to me. It was a joke. I think, Jesus. But most of the time, the poison that's in our lives, we don't sit down and eat it willfully, but we take it in small inductions, and it slowly destroys us. You see, this is where the revelation of God comes for how we seed and harvest in our lives. There's another one, and that is called nice people. Many of us seed our time into nice people. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they're evil people. But they're people in our lives that do not do anything for us. They do not draw us up. Now listen, I'm not saying do anything for us in the explanation of you're getting something from them. I'm saying they're not pushing you. They're not encouraging you. In fact, they're keeping you in the same swill that they're living in. So let's just say you sit down and you spend another hour or two with those kind of individuals. You went to rock solid faith. Amen. Then there's another group of people called yourself. How many of you know that many of us are the most toxic individuals that we hang out with? That our our minds are twisted and warped, and we destroy ourselves, and we are our own worst enemies. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The Bible says that Jesus came to heal your soul. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, is what the Word of God declares. You see, the Bible declares in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. I got to find it. Where am I? There we are. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, you spend time with yourself. You've gone to rock solid faith. You've slept with the right person. You're using work not for bad, but for good. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. You're there as a missionary. But you see, the truth is that most of the time, that's not the way it is. Out of an 8-hour workday, so, you know, you might take 1 hour to where you're actually investing in the people around you. I just want to be honest, right? We want to be straight up and clear. So we've spent 23 of our hours of seed that we can never go back and re-spend. Every one of those hours is going to produce a harvest. We cannot fight it. We cannot lie to ourselves. We cannot deceive ourselves. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. We cannot deceive ourselves to believe that we're actually going to get something different than what we plant. And then the reality is that most of us don't surround ourselves with believers. I got a quick example for you. Ready? Let's go. Pastor Dan. Alan has given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us have a past. Every one of us have people that we've associated with, whether they're nice people, whether they're godly people. And here's the problem. We've got Pastor Dan and Minister Redner, ministers that work with discipleship, trying to pull Alan forward, trying to pull Alan up, trying to speak into his life and invest the godly things, but yet there are so many people behind him that are pulling the opposite direction. So you got his old party friends. Brother Bruce. Bruce, I was going to use you as his father. So here's Alan striving to go forward. Here's Alan striving to move up. Move up. Pull him up, boys. Here's Alan striving to be more like Christ. He really has a desire to be more like Jesus. He has people that are doing discipleship with him, rock solid faith. You know, they're speaking into his life, trying to encourage him. They're pulling him up. But Alan has never cut links of toxic seed from the past. And the wild part is, we usually have more toxic seed from the past than we'll ever have in the future. So we've got to make a choice. You see, if Alan continues this way, let me tell you what's going to happen to Alan. Alan is not only going to be tired, Alan, after a while, is going to give up. How many people do you know that have started their relationship with Jesus? Alan, get up. Alan, get up. Come on, Alan. Come on, guys, pull him up. Pull him up, Alan. You hear him? He's saying, ow, because he's getting rope burned. I have no mercy with this because I want him to feel pain. This example demands pain. Because this is what we're going through. We hang out with our buds at the bar. We've gotten saved. We have people trying to pull us up. But we're still not letting go of the past, those toxic relationships. You see, this is Alan's girlfriend. And Alan was sleeping with his girlfriend. Now watch, that's not really his girlfriend. And so what happened was this. Is Mackenzie didn't like that Alan got saved. So now she's making her play to make sure she can get Alan back. Am I lying? Until Alan makes a decision, cut her off, Alan. Let go. Out. Until he makes a decision to get rid of his party buddies. Listen now, I know this doesn't make everybody happy. But why lie to yourself? Until he makes a decision that he's not going to party with his two friends. The third one without hair. Cut him off, Alan. Yeah, I knew you were fake. I liked you better when you were drunk. How many of you heard that one? You're gone. He cut you off. And then you got his real good friend, man, his best friend, grew up with him. Man, they partied together, they hung out together. Man, they were in first, second, third grade together. And all of a sudden, he just keeps saying to Alan, man, you're part of a cult. What's wrong with you, Alan? You're part of a cult. You've changed so much, Alan. I would rather have you hang out with me like we used to hang out. Come on, Alan. Come on, Alan. Until he cuts his friend off. You need to grab that one. Yep. Listen, you're never going to get everybody out of your past. You've got parents, right? But you can govern how you spend your time with your parents. But then many of you still got, let's just say you got saved and you have a person that you got born again with who's a believer. That's Carla. Some of you got believers in your life you should never have in your life. We call them toxic Christians. They're gossiping. They're backbiting. They're not building your faith. They're tearing your faith down.
But I love them. We go to church together. I don't want to make them angry.
Come to the second service. There comes a place you've got to make decisions for your own life. Cut the Christian loose. Alan, we got a problem. See, you can't always get rid of everybody. You always got to have someone dragging on you. But your goal with them is to drag them to you, not to have them drag you away from what is supposed to be building you. Alan, turn around and get built up. How are you going to spend that? Come on now. When the Lord gave me this message, I really just want to do that example. But I know I need to add verses. That's why I preach a little bit longer. But here's the bottom line. 24 hours of time. Each hour is seed. It doesn't matter your reasoning or your excuses. Where are you sowing them is going to determine the harvest that you reap. If you're sowing into somebody's life and they're not responding, wave at them. Not be mean to them. It's not that you throw them away, but you stop investing your time in them. I got to say this. I'm not talking about the person you're married to. Just had to say that because I know some folks who would go, thank God I can divorce them now. It's not what we're talking about. What harvest do you want? God doesn't determine it. You do with your time. Who do you choose to invest your time with? Where are you planting your time? Don't complain to God. Look at your life. You'll find your answer is sitting in your own shoes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for such a simple message. God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, with the ungodly friends that we have. Father, help us even with the nice people. Help us, God, mostly even with ourselves. And Father, I thank you that you are going to bring in godly men and godly women in our lives that are going to draw us up. And that, Lord, we will choose to spend time investing in our spiritual walk with you. Lord, everything on this planet is going to die. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I pray in the name of Jesus that we will come to ourselves. And then, Lord, we will look at the relationships that we have in our lives. Father, we will determine whether it's good seed or bad seed. Whether it's toxic or godly. And Father, I pray that we'll make wise decisions to build this year to be the year of kingdom seed, the greatest harvest our life has ever experienced to date. Lord, intentional and purposed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a religion. Maybe you know right now if Christ comes, you're not going to heaven. You're not living right. You know that. You know you're not right with God. Today is your day to make it right. Today is your day to get right with Jesus. You see, this is not about religion. This is about that relationship. The greatest person you can spend time with is Christ. But that means you got to know him. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you want him in your life or you need to get right, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Oh, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, 1. Father, I pray that every person in this room, that this week, Holy Spirit, you will not allow us to sleep until we've worked through who we are spending our time with. Jesus, I just thank you that you have our greatest success as your intention. And we determine, oh God, to walk in your ways, to live like you would live, Christ. Jesus, to do what you would have us to do. That when our life is gone and our breath is given, that we will not live any regret. But we will live such a successful life. And where we have seated and spent time, that Lord, we will say, and you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like us all to stand this morning. I want to release a blessing to you today. I want to remind you that right after this, you could go right into the next room right over there. It is Catch the Vision. If you have not participated with Catch the Vision, you need to do that today. It takes only like 20 minutes. You want to get the vision of the house. Are you ready to receive a blessing? The prayer team's around the front of the altar if you need prayer. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. You have given me the authority in your name to stand as your representative, God, to declare the blessing of God over your people. Lord, I declare, Lord Jesus, that no sickness has a right to befall our house. Lord, in Jesus' name, that no division will come in our homes and that, God, we will prosper financially. That, Lord, we will be a testimony to this world that they may know that God is great, not just good. And we give you all the honor and praise for our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement shouted. I said everybody in agreement shouted. Shout this out loud with me. I will be planted. I will produce fruit. I will not have lack. I will prosper in Jesus' name. Enjoy your week. Make sure you lead at least one soul to Jesus in this week and bring them with you to the house of God next week.